What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Welcome to the program. Pete Callinor here, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. If it seems like I'm racing through the intro, it's because I am. Because I want to play Mark Robinson's victory speech from last night. I have Josh Stein's as well. We'll listen to that too. First, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson wins the Republican primary. He will be the GOP nominee for North Carolina governor.
Thank you all for being here tonight. We appreciate you. And as always, we give thanks to Jesus Christ, giving us our life and our health and our strength, allowing us to live in such a blessed and prosperous land. Well, guys, tonight is the culmination of a lot of doggone hard work, a lot of hard work and commitment, not just by me and my team and our campaign staff, but by a whole cadre of people across the state who believe in us, believe in our message, believe in our vision, and want to see North Carolina go in the right direction, and did the hard work it took to get through this primary. So thank you, each and every one of you. We were able to withstand withering attacks from our opponents, all of which were baseless, and we firmly stand by what we believe in, who we are, and our story. Because our story is a great story. Our story is a story that's deeply rooted in North Carolina. It is the story of North Carolina. A story of being the underdog, a story of being the person who had to come back, the person who had to overcome obstacles to see a better day, just like North Carolina herself. You all know my story. Number 9 of 10 children, growing up in an extremely poor household. I'm looking out here right now. I'm looking at my brothers out here. I've got brothers out here in the audience, and I'm looking at them. I've got guys out here that are not my blood brothers, but are practically my spiritual brothers that have been through the same things that I've been through. They've seen the days of poverty. They've seen the days of hunger. They've seen the days of struggle. But like North Carolina herself, we've risen past that to see a better day. And we stand here on this stage now, ready to move forward, ready to move forward into that better day. And I would be remiss right now if I did not give credit to the person I believe who is most responsible for my success. Other than my beautiful wife, Yolanda, who's standing here on the stage with me. The woman who I credit with making me the man that I am is my mother, Eva Mae Robinson. A woman who was left in 1979 with 5 children in her house. And she had a choice between welfare and work, and she chose work. And she worked her fingers to the bone to take care of her children and set a standard in her life. I would not be standing here right now if it was not for her. In fact, I am standing on her shoulders right this moment. I stand on the shoulders of my mother and all of those who came before me, who laid the groundwork that made it possible for me to stand here as the first black lieutenant governor and possibly the first black governor of North Carolina.
By the way, he is the first black nominee of either of the political parties.
Now, I'll tell you this, running this general election, we're not going to allow these folks to drag this campaign into the mud. Those who want to go into the mud, feel free. Where we're going is we're going towards the substantive issues that all North Carolinians face. The things that will make North Carolina great, that will take her to her next level of success. What are those things? Those are those important things, education and our economy. Those are the things we're going to focus on. When it comes to our economy here in North Carolina, my vision is to see to it now that we've come out of the economic doldrums of 2010 and prior, where we were $3.4 billion in debt to the federal government and were furloughing state workers and teachers didn't get a raise for 6 years, to now a day where we see through Republican leadership that we now have a $5 billion surplus. We're giving teachers a raise with raises, state troopers raises, Everybody wants to come here and do business. We're the number one business destination, 2 years running. But I would submit to you now the vision, the call, the mission is to grow this state, to grow its economy, as we like to say, from Murphy to Manio, so that every part of the state has economic opportunity. I believe the way that we do that and sustain that is by having a great education system and making reformations in our education system, removing agendas from the classroom and getting back to classical education, reading, writing, and mathematics, civics, history, and all those things that teach our children how to be great citizens of this constitutional republic, teaching them the values and giving them the skills they need so that they not only succeed inside of the classroom, but they take what they've learned in that classroom, outside of that classroom, and succeed in life. That is the goal. So, folks have heard a lot about me throughout this campaign. Much of it has been false. Those of you all who know me know who I am. I am a person who has a deep love for the state of North Carolina. Why? Because the state of North Carolina has been doggone good to Mark Robinson. From the time I was a little poor kid growing up and right here in Greensboro, over off of Logan Street, to the time I was a young man in the United States military, to the time when I was a young father struggling to take care of my family, to this very moment standing on this stage as the Republican nominee for governor of this great state. This state has been doggone good to me. And now, it is time for me to repay the debt of gratitude that I have to this great state and its people. I look out across this group of people who are standing in front of me now, and I see the struggles and successes that symbolize North Carolina. I look at each and every one of you, and I see folks that I worked in furniture with. I see some people that I worked in the restaurant business with. I see some people out there that probably know somebody from Canton or Asheboro, where the industry was shut down and their jobs were lost. We're here for you. We understand you. You see, I have an opponent that doesn't understand any of that. I have an opponent who doesn't understand what it's like to be at work and have the boss man come and take you to a room and sit you down and tell you, we're moving this plant to Mexico and there's nothing you can do about it. And now you have to go find another job. I know the sting of the bad federal policy that causes that. And I'm here for the people of North Carolina for it. Now, people ask me, what's the difference between you and your Democratic challenger? The answer is simple. I'm part of a winning team. He's part of a losing team. What do I mean by that? His team had us $3.4 billion in debt to the federal government. His team had us furloughing state workers because we couldn't afford to pay them. His team had teacher pay frozen for 6 years. My team turned that around, built a $5 billion surplus, made us the number one business destination in the nation 2 years running, and has set us on a course to make North Carolina an absolute economic superpower. The differences could not be more clear. We have a choice in November. Return back to the days of 2010 and the economic doldrums that plagued us, or move forward into an economy that spans from Murphy to Manio. I'm sure the people of North Carolina will make the right choice. Now, before I leave the stage, I'd be remiss if I didn't say a few thank yous, personal thank yous. One of the big thank yous I want to say, of course, in this, is my wife. My wife has been with me by my side, and those of you all have never run a campaign, you know, if your family's not with you, you're behind. My wife has been right out front, and she has been there with me. She's even been attacked at this race some, but we weathered it. We stood tall. We didn't get down in the mud. We stayed up on that shining city on a hill, so to speak. We were that example that needs to be made here in this state. We stayed above the fray. We talked more about our vision than we did about our opponents. And we see the victory now, and she's part of that. And so I thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you. Also want to say a personal thank you to my campaign consultant, Conrad Porgozelski. This young man is in his 20s. And I remember the first time I met him, I said, I thought I was calling a political consultant, not a high school student. But this young man has driven our campaign to the heights of success. And I know that in November, you're going to drive us towards victory, and I'm looking forward to it. I love you. Thank you for what you do, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much, sir. I wish I could say a personal thank you to each and every one of you in this room, but you all know how much I love you. All the faces out there that I'm looking at right now, you know how much I love you. The last thing I have to say to you tonight is this. Let's go win in November. Paint this state red. God bless you. And God bless the great state of North Carolina. Thank you.
All righty. So there was Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, his victory speech last night. Powerful message, I think. All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay. So what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at carolinareadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Email us Pete at thepetecallinershow.com, on Twitter at Pete Callinor, where I have a couple messages. This is from Andy, who says that Robinson speech needs to be the standard stump speech. Yeah, I agree. Couple things. Robinson is obviously wanting to move past all of the inflammatory comments he has written on Facebook, or he has spoken in churches and all of that. And he calls them, you know, like, we're not in the mud. If you want to get into the mud, you can go ahead and do that. But we're going to focus on the issues. Which, you know, it's easier said than done, because you have an opponent that really, really, really wants to talk about all of the inflammatory things that you have said. And I don't know if people are going to be able to look past it. I don't know if Stein has the kind of money and that I've seen reported, tens of millions of dollars that's going to be poured into this state to cast Mark Robinson as homophobic, xenophobic, misogynistic, anti-LGBTQ plus 2IA, right? Like all of these things that they want to cast all Republicans as. They're going to play the clips. They're going to run the sound bites. Oh, anti-Semitic too. All of these things about Mark Robinson. But Robinson's speech right there, who is he appealing to? He's appealing to workers. This is the populist approach, right? He's saying Josh Stein doesn't know what it's like to get fired from a gig, which, by the way, I do. So, like, Josh Stein has never had his job shut down and sent overseas. A lot of North Carolinians probably could identify with him on that, though, with Mark Robinson on it. Framing himself as the underdog, his story is our story. It's a story of a comeback, overcoming obstacles. And then he puts forth this picture of, you know, teams, winning team, losing team, and he's on the winning team, which, by the way, is what Republicans have been working on since 2010, long before he ever got into politics and was even paying attention to politics. But the Republican Party, and, you know, I know this is going to anger some people when I say it, but, you know, under the leadership of Tom Tillis, like, they turned the state around from a Democrat stagnation, Democrat-led stagnation, to what we have now. And he went through and he listed them bullet points, and that's a great speech to do it. And he needs to keep saying and needs to keep hammering away at that. But I always come back to this thing. The candidates matter, and also elections are about what media make them. My concern is that what you just heard, in all the coverage, in all the stories you may have read, and all the stuff from last night's speech, did you hear some of those points that he was raising? Did you hear most of those points? Did you hear any of those points? Right? The sound bites that media chooses for you tells the story that they want you to hear. That's why I play the entire speech if I can. Luckily, it was only 10 minutes. All right, so maybe you've heard by now, DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to North Carolina, right? Less than a week away. On March 11th, sportsbooks are legal in the Tar Heel State. DraftKings is one of America's top-rated sportsbooks with same-game parlays, money lines, and props. The best features like odds boost and live betting and social betting groups where you can share your bets with friends in real time. That's pretty cool. DraftKings is safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. And it all starts on March 11th. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, do it now, and then you get to place your bets on your favorite sports once it goes live. Remember to use my name, Pete, as a promo code. That is P-E-T-E. And again, it goes live on March 11th. And now to do the disclaimer, gambling problem, call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Eligibility restrictions apply, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
I want to welcome to the program Alan Wooten. He is the managing editor of The Center Square. You can read the work that he does and his colleagues at thecentersquare.com. Welcome to the program, Alan. How are you?
Thank you, Pete. It's great to be here. What a night.
Well, yeah. So did you get much sleep at all last night in covering all of the races from around the state?
No, sir. Of course not. That's what we do. It was quite exciting. It was interesting to see it unfold. Had a few surprises, but yeah, great night. Long ballot for North Carolina this year.
It was, yeah. So, what were the? You say some surprises. What were the surprises in your opinion?
Well, off the top in the state cabinet, Michelle Morrow beating Catherine Truitt. I'm wondering when the last time that happened, and I think the best I can figure it was more than a quarter century ago, more than 30 years ago in 92, Labor Commissioner went down. So very unusual for a cabinet member to lose in a primary.
Right, because especially because it's their own party, right? It's one thing to be unseated, even though that doesn't really happen often. Or at least historically, with the Democrats controlling the state for as long as they did, there was sort of a machine line of succession going with a lot of those cabinet posts. But in a primary, it was weird. And the amount of money that Catherine Truitt spent on this race versus Michelle Morrow, it was like an 8-1 margin or something. Morrow had very little fundraising, very little advertising. So was this just all social media, grassroots, and podcasting, with grassroots influencers?
Well, I mean, you would have to think it would. I mean, one of the things that happened under Catherine Truitt's watch was North Carolina going to a school choice state. First one to do that without a Republican trifecta between the three branches. So she's done some wonderful things. I know she raised eyebrows when she named Dr. Robert Taylor as her deputy at the outset. But I happen to know Robert, Rotarian down in Bladen County when he was down there, and just a really good educator. And in fact, parlayed that into an opportunity in Mississippi that got turned around, and so he's landed on his feet in Wake County now as their superintendent. So I don't know. Maybe Catherine was too middle of the road for folks. Michelle Morrow definitely stands a far bit from the middle, it seems.
Yeah. So I wonder, right, if this between Mark Robinson and Michelle Morrow, I guess we're going to get a test case in this election in November, you know, how much the general voting public cares about school choice and critical race theory, genderqueer theory, all of these things in the classroom as issues. It seems like these are going to be sort of the animating issues around those two races. And so I guess we're going to find out.
I think that's a fair assessment. One of the things that strikes me is as you look at the close races last night and who won, just look at their trades or who they are. You know, Pat Harrigan, Green Beret, in your neck of the woods, mm-hmm. That you've got a pastor who is going to Congress. I mean, what a remarkable story that is. If Mark Walker were to get past Addison McDowell, there's another pastor going in there. So it's really interesting to see the way the voters, who they chose and who they had to choose from in some of these races like that. You know, you get plenty of lawyers all the time, but in this case, there are some interesting occupations or past histories. Laurie Buckhout up in the northeastern part of the state is another one, retired lieutenant colonel.
So I don't know a whole lot about that race. Are you aware of a lot of the details around her? All I saw was some social media attacks against her, and was it like a DUI or something like that? There was something going around. That's about the only thing that I kind of was aware of in that race.
Well, it is an interesting race. I read what the people who study the maps say, whether it's leaning Republican, leaning Democrat, and all that kind of stuff. But that's out of my pay grade. Right. I don't get into the weeds that far. I just read what the experts say. It is the most competitive district of the 14 after the redraw. And Don Davis is very popular in the area. It is in my area. He's from Snow Hill, which is about 12 miles from my house. But the race up there, you know, one of the cool things that happened last night was Sandy Smith said that she gave Laurie a call. Wished her well, said she would do anything she could to help her, that the Republicans needed to defeat Joe Biden's agenda. So it was a classy move there, mm-hmm. and it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. That one's tight. I mean, that is truly in November. That's going to be one to watch to see if they flip the seat.
So you mentioned Pat Harrigan as well. He got past Gray Mills, who is a state representative from Iredell County, and he got passed on by about 2 or 3 points. He's over the 30%. He's at 41%. So there's no runoff there. Harrigan ran against Jeff Jackson for that congressional seat to the west of Charlotte, the one that was basically gifted to Jackson when he by the state Supreme Court when they redid the maps and he bailed out on the state or the U.S. Senate race. And so Harrigan lost that race at the time, then was going to run against Speaker Moore in the 14th district. But then Patrick McHenry announced he's not going to run for re-election. So Harrigan says, I'm going to run in that district. And I think at the time, a lot of people thought it just smacks too much of like opportunism, or he's just kind of bouncing around or whatever. But
like Beau Hines shopping. He's right. Beau Hines shopping.
Right.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to hurt him nearly like it hurt Beau Hines.
No, and I think the veil has been with Bo. I mean, he was a good football player, but and I actually covered him some when I was a sports writer doing that. But I don't know. I'm wondering if maybe you could give me some insight. Does Harrigan's win give a signal for what will happen between, for Dan Bishop and Jackson? I mean, is that...
Mm.
Just the way that could go out, but interesting that he won though. That's a big. I would say I don't know. You're in that area.
Yeah.
Is that an upset? Do you guys call that an upset?
I mean, I've heard people refer to it as an upset. And I think to some degree it is because Gray Mills was just more of he was a state lawmaker, so you would think he's kind of got the connections going there, but. On the other hand, Harrigan, he got a lot of coverage when he was running against Jeff Jackson, and Jackson did that commercial standing in front of Harrigan's house, and then Harrigan's parents' house, so like 2 miles away, got shot up. with his kids inside. And so that made national news. And so I wonder if people remembered him from that. He also, he has a successful business. He manufactures firearms. And so he checks a lot of those boxes. As you mentioned, he's a veteran as well. So maybe it's not quite the huge upset as Michelle Morrow.
Well, and, you know, he's a veteran. He won. Yeah. Castelli did not.
Mm-hmm.
When you start looking at who got picked, and you know that a lot of them have the same, their messages are within the party lines. The differences are not, they're not great,
right,
as far as what they're promoting. And so it is interesting to see what the voters in the districts, chose. So, yeah. And of course, when the runoffs come in 10 weeks, turnout's everything. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah.
If they come out.
Alan Wooten, managing editor of the Center Square. Anything else that you want to throw in here that you think is important or interesting for folks to know before we let you go?
My message is for voters to always check them out. Get all the information you can, and don't rely on social media. Get stuff that you can trust, and make good decisions. Our country needs it.
Alan Wooten, managing editor of thecentersquare.com. I go to this site for my news as well. I appreciate your time. Keep up the good work, sir.
Thank you, Pete. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. That's Alan Wooten. Thanks again to Alan Wooten from the Center Square. The Center Square. Thecentersquare.com. It's a good news site. Do a lot of North Carolina-focused stuff. So I recommend them. I use them for my show prep a lot of times. So I'm glad to have Alan on, and we'll have him back. I got a message from somebody up in Raleigh who said, Pete, do you think that the unaffiliated voters are really passionate about getting porn out of schools? In other words, does the DPI election, the Superintendent for Public Instruction, does that election, this upset of Catherine Truitt, does that mean a red wave in November? Clearly, the unaffiliated overall did not temper the extreme wings of either major party, the extreme wing choices of either major party. There was a lot made of all of the ballots that were selected by unaffiliated voters asking for Republican ballots. It was, I think it was like a 2-to-1 margin. They asked for Republican ballots. And so what does that mean? People are going to be trying to figure that out probably for months or years to come, because you've got a couple different things. Like, number one, it could be an Operation Chaos kind of deal where Democrats are going in to the Republican primary, Democrat-leaning voters, you know, people of the left, are going into the open primary because they're unaffiliated. They go in there and then they vote for the weakest candidates, the candidates that they most want to run against, because they think they will be the easiest to beat. Whether that's true or not remains to be seen, right? I think a lot of people thought Donald Trump was going to be easy to beat in 2016, and that turned out not to be true. So there could be this effect, an Operation Chaos effect, where they're going in and they're like, hey, let's put Mark Robinson and Michelle Morrow and Donald Trump, because we really want to run against them because they're crazy, you know? Or is this a sign that people are actually motivated to vote for these candidates? The idea that, because Catherine Truitt, that race had a lot of people voting in it. It wasn't like there was this massive ballot roll-off or erosion that occurred where people just kind of walked away and they just, you know, left the ballot blank. I mean, that does happen. There is erosion as you move down the ballot, but not to the extent that it would have cost her this election. So, I know Michelle Morrow has been hooked up with a woman we've had on the program, Sloan Rackmuth, I believe is her name. And she's connected to Steve Bannon. And that's why I asked Alan Wooten about the connection with the grassroots and influencers and Steve Bannon and the podcasting and all of that stuff. And they've been hammering away on Catherine Truitt for years. They've been beating up Catherine Truitt. And so now we're going to find out if what their what their effort has been so far is going to be enough to beat Mo Green. Because Mo Green is a solid candidate. Mo Green's got a lot of allies. He's going to have a lot of money. He has a lot of allies that come from Charlotte-Mecklenburg because he used to be employed here. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.